showing us where we are. Now we're going to move towards blue sky, I hope, and the future. First of all, with Andrew Darwood and his pioneering work on computers and image production and face production and model production, etc., etc.
So much for technology. Not quite there. What we're seeing here is a good reason never to rely entirely on the computer when it comes to your surgery. I'm sure it's going to appear.
Well, I'll try
to come
and
along.
Can you find the technician and see what the
technician is? Right. There we go. It's coming. There we go. Lovely.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. Thanks. Well, digital technology is changing every aspect of our lives. And what I want to look at is how electronic technology, how technology can help us to reconstruct faces, to improve predictability and lead to less invasive surgery. And to think about how future technology might lead to faster rehabilitation and a better quality of life for our patients. If we're going to work on our patients in a computer environment, in a virtual environment, we need a way to get their data, to get them into the computer environment. And we can do that using a number of different scanning techniques. And here we see surface imaging. So rather than relying on the hospital photographic department to use the same film in the same camera, we can start to use three-dimensional surface imaging so that we have quantitative surface information so that we can see defects in clear detail in three dimensions and start to make assessments of how patients are before they go have the surgery and see how we've changed them after the surgery. We can get the patient into the computer using scanning systems like CT scanning. And this is a very fertile territory at the moment. CT scanners have changed a lot. Very high resolution, much lower radiation dose. And that allows us to put information into the system. Many of us, well, I'm sure nearly everyone in the room, has a scanner attached to a computer. And we can think of this as the scanner attached to your computer at home, which allows us to put a document onto the screen so that we can go away and edit it. But there's something very important that we have at home, and that's a printer. We're able to print what we've fiddled with. We're able to make something of it. And where technology has moved on in a very exciting direction, this is a stop motion video of a jaw being built up, a resin jaw, just a model of a jaw being built up using rapid prototyping technology. So now, instead of just looking at it on screen, fiddling with it on screen, we can actually make something. We can make things that fit into people's mouths that allow us to drill in particularly constrained and defined ways, to put dental implants, for example, into particular places. That's a drill guide. We can make models so that we can plan our surgery, try it out on a model before we try it out on the patient. We can make things that we're going to put into people and leave there. This happens to be a titanium dental bridge. But the point is that we can now use our technology to manufacture. So when we're presented with something like this, which is a 2,000-year-old Egyptian mummy, and a bundle that was found near the head, we can use our imaging, yes, to take a look at what lies beneath the wraps. But we can go further and construct three-dimensional virtual models of the bundles, and then we can fiddle with what we have, we can interact with it, strip off the layers that we're not interested in and take a look at what's inside, the beautiful skull of a 20-year-old Egyptian lady. And we can go a stage further. We can edit what we see on screen, and we can take a look at the teeth and decide that this is a 20-year-old individual, and actually the bag of bones was an ibis with a rather beautifully preserved skull. So we can plan on screen. This is a patient who just had one third of their lower jaw left after reconstructive surgery. Sorry, after resection of a tumour. So that's all we've got to plan with in the lower jaw. And what we're going to do is reposition that segment into a better position and mirror it on screen. So now we've gone from having one third of the jaw on screen to having two thirds of the jaw on screen. And it's possible to go back and try in that part of the jaw against the skull base, make sure it all fits together, before pressing the print button again and actually making a model of that jaw and using standard dental technology to just fill in the missing segment. And you'll see that there's a reconstruction plate there. So we have pre-bent, pre-fabricated this fixation plate that's going to define the reconstruction. We can take a skull where there has been a very major traumatic incident and produce an implant designed on computer screen to be left behind, to correct the contour and provide continuity of that really huge defect. So this is now something that we're making from our model and image data and leaving behind in the patient. But unfortunately, we can't just go replacing parts of the body with titanium artifacts. That doesn't work. The skull is a little different. It works really well in the skull, but when it comes to replacing whole jaws, it's not possible to use titanium. To show you what Ian is doing with his team at the London, this is an absolutely delightful lady who had a very vicious tumour of her anterior mandible, so the large lump is cancer that needs to be removed, and she is going to lose two-thirds of her jaw. And what we've managed to do is plan the contour of her face by defining that contour with a fixation plate that is going to fit onto the jaw. And Ian's taken bone from the limb, some fibula, and contoured it to the fixation plate to provide a new lower jaw. Now, I'm talking about teeth and implants for a brief moment. And you might say, with all that going on, how important can the teeth be anyway? But what we're doing here in an entirely virtual environment on a computer screen is planning the position of teeth in relation to the bone that has been put in. And then we're pressing the print button again and generating a jig, which you see on the right in use, which is allowing us to place implants into precisely defined positions using a minimally invasive approach. But the point is that we worked back from the teeth to define this jaw. We started by saying, well, where should the teeth be? Because that's the thing that is going to define the face. And we worked back from that to decide on the shape of this reconstruction plate, which gives us the shape of the final jaw. So we have a bizarre situation here because we have dental implants sticking out into the mouth through the skin of the leg sitting in the bone of the leg. And that's really the state of art at the moment, because what we have is someone who's had two major interventions, not one. They've had major surgery to their face, and they've also had major surgery to their leg. We've used their leg bone as an implant material. Wouldn't it be nice if we could do something more than that? Because we can build structures in many, many materials. I'd go so far as to say nearly any material. This lady's husband said, as we fitted the bridges that Susan, my partner, made, he said, "Do you know, I know you finished, but she doesn't look quite like she used to." And that was just such a fantastic compliment, because she has a normal life. Another bone that Ian and his team use very frequently is the scapula, the shoulder blade, which has a very nice bulk of bone that can be removed along with some skin, as you see on the left, and the tissues underlying that. And we can use that bone tissue to rebuild in the same way as you saw above. I'm going to show you a slide now, and I thought long and hard, did I really want to show this? Because I think it's very disturbing. So if you are disturbed by a really nasty gunshot injury, then please look away now. Okay, so you can look again. If we're talking about the ethics of stem cells, then I think it's important for the people who are thinking about the ethical use of stem cells to know what the problems are. And the problems are that in that kind of major injury, there has been an enormous amount of tissue loss. And we need to find tissue. And that's what these second operations are all about, going to the leg, going to the shoulder, to find tissue. Because this man has lost a large chunk of his lower jaw, and he's going to lose more of his lower jaw because it's been detached for a period. And he's lost most of his lower lip. So how are we going to replace these tissues? Yes, transplantation is an answer. It does seem to work, but it's a lifetime of drugs, of medication. The patient's prone to cancer. All kinds of problems are associated with that. What we really need is to be growing tissues, to be manufacturing, making tissues. We need scaffolds to support those tissues and cells that will survive on those scaffolds. What we did here anyway was using the poor image data that we had. And actually, the first time I met this patient was just a couple of days before the surgery. And this is the model we made from his rather crude CT scan. And although we have every kind of technology available, we must never forget our roots, because I think all dentists and all doctors, all surgeons, have to have an artistic streak. And what you see there is just a little bit of modeling clay. And we've used that to plan the position again of a fixation plate. And not just the fixation plate, but also some teeth. So now when we go to the surgery, we're almost going with a template, a prescription. It's now, we've got enough to be thinking of with the technique of joining blood vessels together and removing pieces of tissue and replacing them and keeping them in a fit, healthy state. So let's at least try and take some of the guesswork out of the positioning. So this is probably the first time that implants and bridge work and bone have been put into a gunshot wound of this type. And you might say, well, teeth, who cares? The poor man was in such a terrible state. Why would that be important? And again, the teeth form the skeleton of the face. The bone that supports the teeth supports the tissues, as Simon was saying, supports. It's the framework of the face. And by defining the position of the teeth And by planning things from a fundamental level, we make the future treatment so much easier. Now, you see the patient with implant bridge work in place, and Ian's done a relatively smaller surgery to the lips to improve the appearance of the lips. And that is the patient at the end of a nine-month period. Funnily enough, this was actually one of the first patients that we worked on. And we've gone on to see how we could prepackage and prefabricate to make treatment for these poor patients as straightforward as possible. Because rehabilitation is not just about getting better after the operation. It's about us feeling as whole as possible, as quickly as possible, while they can still remember what it is to feel whole. So this is cancer. This is what cancer looks like. On your right, you can see an ulcer just behind the back tooth on the right screen. This is cancer, and this is a man who definitely hasn't looked after himself very well in life. A lot of smoking, a lot of drinking, and I think that is what has led him in our direction. But now, using our planning on screen and planning on models, we can go into the surgery knowing that we're going to cut out a defined part of his jaw. So this man actually lost about a third of his jaw, with a clear instruction as to where to drill to locate a fixation plate and where to drill to place dental implants. So you can see here the discontinuity of the jaw, which is going to be filled again by a scapular flap, and now placing implants in the scapular flap using special guides and fitting bridge work, so that actually within a very short space of time, this is a man who really, I don't think any of us at the practice had any great confidence that he'd look after himself. And I think that a lot of why he can look after himself and look good now is that he's managed to maintain that self-image. But what a shame, because in order to make him better, we've had to carry out two nasty operations. You can see what we've removed in pink. And you can see the defect that was left behind. On the right side of the screen, you can see how that defect was very elegantly filled with just one length of shoulder blade. But what I very much feel we should be doing is looking at ways to create structures that we can seed with cells.
And you're here's, like a magician, really. And
so we can fabricate using our machines, repeating objects which we can shape and form. And the direction that stem cell technology is going allows us to define cell types, as I hope we're going to hear, with which we can seed structures, so that perhaps when we go to surgery, instead of having to do two operations, we can go to surgery with a flat pack. Well, probably wouldn't be flat, but a box of tricks, an Airfix kit, so that we cut where we're told to cut, we drill where we're told to drill, and we insert. And I think that there are so many people looking at various aspects of this technology that there's a real need for people to sit down together and talk about how this can be done, which is why I'm so pleased to be here with Ian, who is clearly trying to get like-minded people together to talk this out. Thank you.
exciting, Andrew. Thank you very much. That was exactly what the surgeon ordered.